from Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made as we move on through this summer and on through this pandemic, which stood a lot of things on their head, made things feel upside down. And just remember, God's in charge. The Lord's in charge. Tell our four teenagers that every day. My wife does too. And we've had some great family time and some great family discussions through all this. And I hope you are soldiering through it as well. Well, we're pleased and honored to welcome in Father Michael Kiernan. Father, good day to you.
Good morning, Bob. A good day to you and to all your listeners out there. God bless you all on this Wednesday morning.
Yes, it's a beautiful morning indeed. Not quite as hot, I think, today. So a relative term. How has the pandemic affected you and your daily activities?
Well, first of all, I'm sitting here in my office looking out way past over the flight line where we have all our planes, of course, that continually fly and fly and fly.
I should explain.
And then further on is the Butte, Sutter Buttes, just beyond that. So beautiful day in the neighborhood out here.
I should explain, you're the chaplain for Beale Air Force Base.
There's two of us, Father Mario Rosario and myself. Mm-hmm. We take care of all the Catholic responsibilities here at St. Mary's Chapel, as it's called, at the base. And, yes, it's just been an impact for sure. We, way back in mid-March, we basically shut down and worked from home, except that I would come in for the Mass. And then we did our live stream Mass every Sunday. And then maybe, I think it was mid-June or so, early June, we decided that the wing chaplain. Here we have an interesting situation. It's not the bishop who makes the final determination, but each commander at each base is allowed to determine what's safe to do from every aspect of the base life, and mm-hmm. so gatherings and so on. So at that particular time, the wing chaplain and the commander decided that in-person masses and so on could be good. We were open for that, and we had several weeks, but we only allowed active duty to come. So it was nice to have a number of our people back. But then a couple of weeks ago, the commander and wing chaplain said, no, we'll have to go back to no more than 10, and the old rule. And so we are back to the minimum amount of people needed to really celebrate the Mass, priests, readers, and so on. And so that's right here now. The base is tight as a drum, and that they are well familiar with the concerns in Sutter County and Yuba County and all of the area around Sacramento County, of course. So being very careful, and you wouldn't want to go any place out here without wearing a mask. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. everybody from the commander all down, chaplains, everybody. We had opened the base for haircuts and so on there for three or four weeks, and but now that's shut down again here on the base. So the coronavirus is having a large impact on church. And just before you called, I was sitting down with the religious coordinator here to determine what can we do going forward in regard to religious education. Mm-hmm. And the Archdiocese of the Military Services has a director for that, and we've been working on that with him over the last few weeks. And it's a great challenge, but we hope that we can do something anyway, even though we won't be having religious education classes in the same way as we always had them, by bringing our kids together and having them in different classes.
Now, these are kids that actually live on the base or just live in the area?
Well, if they live on the base or people who are base members who live
right
outside and come in to church here, you could be living, you could be working on the base, you could be active duty. You might be living in Yuba City or Roseville or somewhere,
right,
and you'd go then, if you wanted, to the local church there, wherever it is, but you can continue to come to church here. So not all the people that we have at Mass and in religious education, we don't have all the people that are Catholic. Depending where they live, there's four or five communities like Lincoln and so on, mm-hmm, Marysville, Yuba City, and Roseville, to mention a few, where active duty people live, and many of them come in here, but many of them go to the local church.
Now, you're geographically within the Diocese of Sacramento, and yet there's also the Archdiocese for Military Services, which is worldwide.
Yes, the Archbishop there is Archbishop Timothy Broglio. Mm-hmm. So when we pray in the Mass here, we pray for Francis, our Pope, and for Timothy and Jaime, our bishops, because mm-hmm, we do include the Bishop of Sacramento. But technically, the Bishop of Sacramento wouldn't be involved very much with the base activities. And there is there's four bishops in the Archdiocese of Military Services, the Archbishop himself, and then there's Archbishop, then there's Auxiliary Bishop Neil Buchan, who is basically the bishop for the western states, mm-hmm, and so he would be covering everything from west of the Mississippi back to over to Chicago, you know, L.A. and mm-hmm, all that area. So he would come here once a year for to do confirmations and check up to see that we're behaving ourselves,
wow,
which we sometimes do.
Wow, that's obviously the biggest diocese in the world.
It is. It is indeed. And you know, sometimes when you read the reports, there's a quarterly document that comes out from the Archbishop telling about his exploits and those of his auxiliary bishops, and it would just make you dizzy, you know, because especially the Archbishop. The auxiliary bishops sort of stay in one place, and though they have very large territories, of course, but he is all over the place, and so he could be in L.A. Today and New York tomorrow and Germany Sunday and Tokyo mm-hmm, on Tuesday. And you know, he goes and goes and goes, and Christmas events and Easter events and the variety of things that need to be done. So it is, and sometimes you can see him, you know, in some place very nice chapels, depending on the place. And on the other hand, you see him out in the middle of the field celebrating Mass, because that's the situation that's called for on this occasion. So it's fascinating, and I like reading those reports from what he and the auxiliaries are doing, and that means reports on all the bases.
Wow. So is outdoor Mass a possibility where you are?
Well, we haven't done that. They have wanted us for to do the keeping below the 10. But I now live and I'm blessed to be serving in the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament with Father Michael O'Reilly, the great rector. And so they have outdoor Mass there. And we had, in fact, I had the Spanish outdoor Mass on Sunday last at 9 o'clock. And that was a lovely experience right there in the alleyway where the parking is for the cathedral. And
so not out in the cathedral square?
Not in the square. For some particular reason, it was considered wiser and safer to have it there in that area.
Right between the parking structure and the side of the cathedral?
Yeah, so where all the cathedral cars,
right,
staff and so on, those cars are all taken away, so that is vacant. And Father O'Reilly has set up a lovely altar and nice flowers, and very dignified and lovely. And of course, everything is at appropriate separation, as we have to do nowadays every place. But we had a nice group of people, probably a little bit more than we would have in the cathedral itself. In the previous Sundays, we had Mass with the under 100 stipulation that the bishop has laid down. But now now we can take more than that, and so come on down, everybody. You're welcome. We can keep the physical distancing, and it's surprising how much space there is there. And it was a delightful experience, and so far, last Sunday, and I think this Sunday will be the same, I have the 7:30 English Mass this coming Sunday in that location before I go on to Beale for my other duties of the day on Sunday. But it was cool, and it was nice, and the people, you know, again, I did a little interview there on Channel 13 recently in regard to that. They came to ask about how we're doing it, and I told them, well, you know, Catholics are wonderful people. They just go with the flow for the most part, and we've been used to, you know, I've celebrated Mass. I know Bishop has, and other priests celebrated Mass out in migrant camps, you know, out in Esparto and God knows where. We've celebrated Mass in prison situations, and then not to mention the military situations where everybody's in the military. You know that sometimes it's just quick Mass over a card table, and got to hurry up, and, you know, there's trouble up ahead, so we better get a quick Mass here in, out in the open or wherever you are in any part of the world. So I think our people are adapting to this, and Mass is Mass, and it's done with the same reverence and beauty as it would be even in the cathedral itself.
Hmm. That's very, very wonderful to hear, our universal church. Yeah, as you say, Mass is Mass in a very profound way. You know, and,
in a very profound way, and that's a beautiful thing here. And so at Beale, of course, we have wonderful young people, and we're challenged now as to how to do the, well, every place is challenged now as to how to do religious education. But, you know, I was talking to a great friend of mine, a Mormon, the other day, and I asked him, John, I said, what are you guys doing? Are you having church and stuff like that? And he said, well, of course we're having church. He said, the family is the domestic church, and our families, you know, believe in their faith as they see it. And so I would apply the same to our Catholic situation. Paulette, our coordinator here, and I were just saying that this is a glorious opportunity we can provide, and we have lovely materials here that we were just going through this morning. So if you were part of our St. Mary's Beale Base family, we would connect with you and your wife, and we would give you several wonderful booklets and so on. We would work with you on Zoom. The coordinator here would work with you and all the other families one would have in the group. And now it's up to you, maybe in a special way, to you and your wife to be the domestic leaders of your faith community in your home. Mm-hmm. And where you can't come to church, you can celebrate the Mass live. You can, I always encourage the people when they're celebrating the live stream Mass that you're all dressed up and you're nice and you have your family there together with you in your front room wherever you're comfortable. And then you stand when the Mass is beginning and they're in your front room and you can sing along, if you're able to sing along with if there is singing, which sometimes there is, sometimes there's not, depending on the circumstances now. But mostly we're allowed to have singing here. And so the cantor starts, and you can bless yourself, and you can recite the act of contrition, and you can listen to the opening prayer, and so on throughout the Mass, and stand and sit and kneel, depending on what you would do if you were at Mass. So I would apply the same then, Bob, for our people to take these education booklets for the children and to really, acquire all the information you need. We were just saying about it's not that hard, and that actually, you know, if in your position, for instance, there at the on the radio, if the bishop or the radio station comes up with new rules, you'll get a page or two of stuff to read, and we're going to make these changes beginning next week on such a date. And it's up to you to study them and become a knowledge of them. And the same would be true of somebody working at Bank of America, if the group comes up with new rules, the workers are there. So I think our people are smart enough that they can do that. And so these booklets, there's maybe two or three pages on a given Sunday. They're based upon the readings. And so you and your wife could get yourself organized and sit with your family and have a beautiful Mass, and then maybe before or after Mass, so someday during the week, whatever, you have your religious education class, and you mm-hmm. go through this material, and they're seeing that Mom and Dad love their faith and know their faith, and you explain whatever it would be, the theme of this particular class. Maybe you're talking about the rosary one time, you're talking about prayer another, you're talking about confirmation, you're talking about the Mass itself, or whatever the theme would be. And so I think in these times we can do a lot of good. In fact, we might be able to enrich ourselves even more, because now you say to yourself and your wife, you guys say to each other, you know, it's up to us. We can't go to religious education class. We can't send our kids to religious education class like we used to. So come on, you and I, it's us to do it, here with our little family, and somebody else a mile away has their family, and so on and so on, with all our family. So that would be my encouragement to people not to lose heart and to actually make it work now. And eventually, please God, when we get a vaccine and the scourge goes away, we can get back to something normal. But maybe even this, what we're talking about here, will stand to us, and you should be doing it anyway as the first and best educators of your children, as the church says. So go for it, every family. God bless you what you do.
Yeah, it's very, very good advice. We're talking with Father Michael Kiernan, the chaplain at Beale Air Force Base. So it varies from base to base, but on Air Force Base here in Northern California, you're going to have people who live on the base. You're going to have people who live off the base. You're also going to have a civilian group that comes in every day and works and goes back home. How have their jobs there, is the base more or less shut down in terms of people coming in every day, or are most people coming in and continuing given the restrictions of the pandemic?
Well, as I say, back in March and April, we to a great extent did shut down, and only those who were considered essential, and of course, the priest was considered essential, so therefore we were in. But there was a lot of work being done from home. But now they're doing more here. But again, like our staff meetings and stuff like that, I do that from my Zoom, on my Zoom here. And so instead of going over to the location where we would normally meet. So they're trying to keep people at distance as much as they can. But on the other hand, the commander is very anxious to make sure that the work of the base, the very necessary work, is done. Of course, obviously the pilots can continue to fly, because a lot of that is individual training and flying sure. their planes and so on. So there are certain things that are easier to do, but there are some things that aren't that necessary that are either shut down or done in a diminished capacity. But the overall plan is to keep the base going. But for example, you can't get a haircut now. That's shut down again. It was open for quite a while, and I got all my hair cut, you know, and you know the great amount of hair I have. And so anyway, got that done. So now I'll be waiting to see if I get it done again for weeks. But the commander has basically said that we're in a 90-day holding operation where we're extremely careful with masks and the washing of hands and mm-hmm. keeping distance. And we don't have to wear a mask all day in the office. If I'm here in my own office by myself, then I don't have to wear a mask. And if somebody comes in, like my staff members, then we make sure that we're sitting at opposite ends of the office room, and so we're far beyond the 6 feet, and that's good. But in general, we're being extremely cautious, and every effort has been made to use good judgment and not to, you know, I think it was the president said the other day that it's patriotic to do all these things that we're asked to do. And of course, we as Catholics would say that, you know, if I am going in to see you in your office today, I need to do everything I can. As one person here put it, a young man, he said, you know, I'm not so concerned about getting this thing myself, because I think, he said, I could beat it since I'm in good shape and so on. But he said, I'm scared to death that I would give it to somebody else.
Sure. Which and is so the right attitude. That's the right attitude to have.
Yeah. Just to make sure that you do the right thing and keep your distance and all these, which is not hard to do. Again, it depends on your attitude to it. So that's the base. People coming and going for sure. But just a small thing, for instance, is that when you come into the base, you have to show your card, your identity card, and they look at the card, which shows your face, and then you turn it around where it has the for to make sure this correct card. And so they don't touch that. In the past, you used to give them the card, and they'd look at it, and then they'd work on it. But now you hold it up for them, front and back, mm-hmm. and they're able to do all they need to do. So little things like that just good sense and being careful.
So you are a Catholic priest incarnated in the Diocese of Sacramento. Are there Catholic priests within the military that they're actually members of the military who are also serving as chaplains?
Well, yes, in one sense. So you always belong to your own diocese in one way, but for instance, the previous wing chaplain here was Father Francis Lowe from the Diocese of San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
His bishop allowed him to go off to be a chaplain many moons ago, and then he went through the process of being a captain and then into a major and lieutenant colonel and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be the full-time. A good example of that also was a priest in our Diocese of Sacramento who became a bishop in the military services.
Mm-hmm.
So he had gone through all of the, he'd been in it for maybe 30 years, and in fact it was interesting, he was 65 and ready to retire and had got everything in order and was well due way beyond retirement in a sense, because he could have retired earlier. But lo and behold, just as he's about to walk out the door to begin the retirement, The Pope said, hold up a minute. got something else here for you to do. I'm going to make you a bishop, so you'll be staying on another 10 years.
Wow.
So he did, and that was... So, but yes, there is the full-time priest in the... my situation and many others would be people who, at a particular time... Now, it could be that the bishop would allow someone to go who was younger, but generally speaking, that wouldn't be the case. Nowadays, with the shortage of priests, there's a great shortage in the military for priests, and so they're always delighted when priests locally, like myself, are available to do this. I completed 5 years of service with the Lethbridge Air Force Base, and then the Archbishop asked me if I would, Archbishop Broglio of the military services asked me if I would consider doing it, do another 5, he said, since you're young and healthy. So I said, well, how could I say no? So just re-upped, as we say here, for another 5. So God willing, we'll do that and take it in 5s as time goes on.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lovely place to work, and because it's all young people for the most part, and, you know, fine, dedicated people, and they have a military attitude, and church is church, and we do it, of course, according to the ways that the church does every place, and then we have this nice St. Mary's Chapel, which has a lovely annex building where we can have, in normal times, social activities after Mass, and we have the classrooms here for our faith formation, but again, none of that in place now. We have our simple Mass, which is live streamed, and then everybody comes in one door and out the other, and it's very strict as to keep your distance and wear your mask, and I wear the mask all the time, unless when I get up to the altar, I'm way far from people, so then I take off my mask. But I do put it back on as ordered by the Bishop of Sacramento for the communion, so mm-hmm. giving out communion to somebody. So you would come up to communion and keep your distance, even though you have your mask and I have my mask. Then I lean towards you, and you put out your hand, and then receive Holy Communion, and it works out well.
So what's the capacity of your chapel?
A chapel could probably hold about 150 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a regular. It actually is shared with our Protestant friends, who they have their service early, and then they take out whatever they've had in there to make it work for them. And then we have a very beautiful system whereby we can just pull back some curtains, and ta-da, there's the cross and the Virgin Mary and St. Mm-hmm. Joseph, and it's all Catholic. and then, of course, we have the altar and the lectern and everything. So it's quite new. We have the stations of the cross on the walls, and we have the various banners like you would have in various church and so on. And then, of course, we process in with the cross and the candles and all the normal procedure as for a Catholic Mass.
How wonderful. We're with Father Michael Kiernan, who is the chaplain at BO. So you've re-upped for 5 more years?
God willing. I'm in the middle now of my first new 5, first year of my new 5. So looking forward to that. And I have a wonderful coordinator here, has been here. She's been in 28 locations around the world.
Wow.
And so she knows the whole system of the Air Force, and her and her husband are very lovely people. And I've come to know some great people. I suppose one of the little difficulties here is that people are all the time, as we call it, PCSing, where they come and they go. So generally speaking, you wouldn't be here more than 2 years. Rare, you might get 3. So you get to know them a little bit, and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of deployments, too, so you, and in that 2 years, you might be gone 3 months now and 3 months again, or sometimes 6 months. And my father Mario, the other priest here, who, as you mentioned earlier, is a full-time priest of the Air Force, he will be heading off in October for 6 months to I'm not sure where it is at the moment. It hasn't been finalized, the exact place or the exact day, but I know it'll be early October. He'll be gone then through Easter of next year, and so I'll be here by myself. Well, he's gone, and then he'll come back, and then he'll probably PCS in June. So there'll be another priest coming in, if they can afford another one, depending on the numbers. But it's always exciting, and coming and going, and new people, and I've got to know the rules and regs of how to do it. I feel very much at home here. I have a nice office, and I can look out on the base. It's a very widespread base here. Mm-hmm. Some bases are very compact, but this thing, to go from one end to the other, would be 7 or 8 miles.
Oh, wow.
Depending on what occasion you had to go from. The housing development is quite close to where to our base chapel here, St. Mary's, and then going to meetings, I would travel like 4 or 5 miles, and then to go out to the flight line itself would be even farther than that. And there's 4 entrances to the base, and depending on where you're going to, in what direction you're going, you'd use the different ones.
Wow, I didn't realize it was quite that big.
Coming in and out, very strict coming in and out, and especially now, and so on. So you have to have your identification. And like if you were coming in here to see me, you'd have to have 2 pieces of identification. Your driver's license wouldn't be enough. You'd have to have, like, passport or something else, mm-hmm. as a civilian coming in. So that is part of the being careful, and the not only for coronavirus, but the whole idea of security for the base in these troubled times around the world.
Yeah, I remember my dad was retired military after World War II, and we would occasionally, as kids, go down to Travis or McClellan, maybe to go to the commissary or the BX or even to see the doctor, and because he still had his benefits as retired. And it was strict getting on that base. We felt like we'd beaten the system when we actually got on the base. But
speaking of Travis, I don't know if you've ever had on Father Jeff Henry.
I haven't.
Well, you might find that very interesting because he was, much of his life, he was a Lutheran minister.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came to the Holy Faith of the Catholic Church, and he's married, of course, with a wife, and lovely wife, and a beautiful daughter. And so Bishop Wiegand, I believe it was, ordained him as a Catholic priest. Maybe it was Bishop Soto, but anyway, one of our bishops here. And so he's been assigned there as the chaplain for Travis Air Force Base, and he's been there now several years, and him and I talk all the time. So that would be an interesting story for our viewers.
Great.
And again, he's a wonderful man, yeah. I think he's going to be there a long time also.
Very good. Very good.
I'll give his number to you. I'll give it to Gabe. You'll be able to contact him that way, yeah.
That would be excellent. That would be excellent.
I'll text that to Gabe, yeah.
Father, always a pleasure to talk with you. I know the last time we talked, I think we were just talking by phone as friends, and you invited me up to the base, and shortly after COVID hit, and we haven't been able to keep that date, but I hope that we can do it in the near future.
Well, please God, you'd be always welcome, and always great to chat with you and your listeners. Sort of another thing that sort of impacted me a little bit here has been, you know, I do that little Catholic TV show, Faith,
right.
Hope, and Love, but again, everything is impacted, and so having interviews and stuff like that is more difficult. I'm sure you're finding the same with having people there in your office and stuff, but we'll hopefully build up that again. But I thank you, Bob, for the opportunity to share about the life here at St. Mary's and Beale and all your base, and to all of our listeners, wherever you are, God bless you. And this is the feast of Mary Magdalene, the great first apostle to all the apostles. So I hope that all of us can feel, even in these hard times, don't lose heart, be strong in the Lord. And as we were saying earlier, keep educating your children, living the faith yourself, and we'll get back to the good times of full church again, hopefully in the not-too-distant future. But God bless you all, and keep you safe and well.
God bless you too, Father. And our prayers from our family to yours and all our listeners go to you up there at Beale. And thanks for all you do for our great church, whether it's here, whether it's the Universal Church.
Well, it's a blessing, and what a joy to serve the Lord and his people.
God bless you all. Thanks, Father. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Father Michael Kiernan, the chaplain up at Beale Air Force Base. What an interesting and obviously faith-filled, but what an interesting position that is as well. Well, we go now to El Dorado Hills, and we're joined by Denise Remick, the principal of our great Holy Trinity Elementary School there in El Dorado Hills. Denise, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Doing very well. What do we say? As best as can be considered under the circumstances, or some such thing.
Absolutely.
It's not funny at all, but I think about you folks and how on Friday the 13th of March, we remember the date well, you closed down your schools. Well, just sent everybody home for the weekend, normal weekend, and on Monday, you were ready with distance learning. A remarkable story.
You know, it is a remarkable story, and I think it's a true testament to the preparation that the Catholic Schools Department aided our elementary schools to make sure we were prepared to go. It was on our radar, and And so we had prepped the kids on Friday the 13th. We instructed them to bring all their materials with them home in a just-in-case. And sure enough, it came out that afternoon, and we had been prepared, and we rolled out Monday with distance learning in full effect to keep our curriculum going for our students.
It's mind-boggling. Did you pretty much saw it coming for a couple of weeks or a month even, maybe?
I think, you know, the Catholic Schools Department had contacted the principals, and it was kind of put on our radar about a week and a half prior that, you know, that it was kind of ramping up and that we really needed to be start preparing our teachers. And so we kind of did a soft rollout to our teachers and said, hey, let's get some curriculum together. Let's be prepared for this. And then, as you stated, Friday the 13th came, and what an appropriate date.
Yeah.
And we were a little taken back by the suddenness of it, but we were absolutely prepared. And our teachers came through with flying colors, and it was just great praise for our teachers and our families and the Catholic Schools Department that that we were able to continue our children's education.
Did you think at the time that it would just be a brief, like a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we all thought, you know, 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll get back in school and we'll get back to normal. And then as time rolled on, you know, we extended it a little bit further. And then, you know, the decision that it was going to last for the remainder of the school year sank in. But everyone adjusted seamlessly, and I was just so proud of the faculty and staff that I worked with, and then in communication with all the other principals in the Catholic Schools Department in the Diocese of Sacramento. It was an absolute challenge, but everyone just did a phenomenal job, and so obviously we're now gearing up for our next school year. And we are so fortunate as of right now, and hopefully it hasn't changed and won't change in the near future. Up here in El Dorado County, we are not on the watch list yet. And so up here at Holy Trinity School Ministry, we are gearing up for on-site instruction on August 12th.
Yeah. What was the final day of school? Was it late May?
Late May. I think most of the schools, we were finished late May. Some of the schools, the very first week of June.
So you were in distance mode about 2.5 months.
Correct, from March through like the very beginning of
June. And then
June,
immediately began planning for in-person. And everything was tamping down, and it looked like all the predictions about summer, it's going to fall off, way off. It may come back in the fall, but we don't know. That those seem to be coming true, and then boom, just like, and El Dorado County, of the many counties in Northern California, had been doing extremely well.
Yeah.
Continues to do quite well compared to the others, and has remained off the watch list, which means your school can reopen, and many of the others, at least temporarily, depending on if they can get a waiver or not, which is still out there in the somewhere. Many schools will, Catholic schools will be in distance learning, and virtually all the public schools will be in distance learning as well. But you are not on the watch list, and hopefully will not be, and so you can go ahead with your in-person planning. Planning, or actually opening, we're talking a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, and so we're very excited about it. We have put in protocols and guidelines to really maximize the health safety for our students and our faculty and staff, as well as our parents. And so you can imagine that we are stocked up on all sorts of supplies to keep everything clean, and have distributed different protocols on how we will make sure it's a really safe environment. One of the decisions that we made here at Holy Trinity School Ministry for this upcoming year was to cap our class sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, where perhaps we are used to having, you know, upwards to 30 students in a class, we made the decision that our TK through second would be capped at 20 students a class, and our third grade through eighth grade will be capped at 25 students per class.
So how do you accomplish that? Did you cut enrollment, or do you spread them out in new areas, or how do you do that?
So we are going to have Monday through Friday, traditional school, 8 mm-hmm. to 3. We have made sure every classroom has the individual desks for the students, and that they are separated with as much distance as possible. We are going to provide masks and clear shields for our faculty and staff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's more about instilling routine with the students, which we do every school year for, you know, the first 2 or 3 weeks, teaching them, you know, how to walk in line and how we're going to do things. That's a normal school year. So I think how we can make it normal for the students, kids are so tolerant, and so I think the kids are going to do really well with it. I think it's, you know, the adults, we need to be mindful and patient with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to really roll out well, and we have plenty of guidelines and plans in place to make sure that it's a safe, effective, on-site instruction for our students.
So we're talking with Denise Remick, the principal of Holy Trinity School in El Dorado Hills. Denise, tell us a little bit about your background in education and your background in general.
So I have been in education with the Diocese of Sacramento for 18 years. This is my first year at Holy Trinity as the principal. I came from Holy Family Catholic School,
mm-hmm.
Where I spent the 17, almost 18 years there as a fourth grade teacher. And then I moved on to middle school as a science teacher, a social studies teacher. And, of course, above all, in every grade that I had was so blessed to teach was to teach our faith and give
yes.
that foundation to our students, which yeah. is of the utmost importance.
Which is the role of every teacher in our Catholic schools.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And prior to my career in education, I spent about almost five years with a neighboring sheriff's office,
uh-huh.
Working in a civilian capacity. And that role really allowed me to see the diversity of people. It gave me the opportunity to have compassion and understanding with others, and understand that there are differences.
Mm-hmm.
So that rolled into education with students to make sure that I had compassion and patience and understanding with my students.
So I know schools, you rely on you know, tuition, obviously, you rely on a lot of support from donors and various fundraisers, galas, things like that. Do you have to put those plans on hold, or can you go ahead with those plans?
So most of the plans, they have been in flux. We have really adapted many of our fundraisers and our donation efforts. Some of them have gone to online. Here at Holy Trinity, we are actually planning right now our first ever auction gala.
Mm-hmm.
We originally had scheduled it for October, but with just some foresight of and some concern, we decided to put that date off. So we have pushed it forward to April 17th.
Oh, good thinking.
Yeah, and our school community and our parish community has been very understanding, obviously, of the concerns. And so we are putting it off to April 17th of 2021, and we will hopefully go forward on that day. In the event that if we're not clear out of the woods for gathering in large groups, we are using platforms that will allow us to have online auctions, and
mm-hmm.
we're trying to come up with alternate plans that still will engage our community and provide the support that our school needs in order to make sure that we can have everything to provide for our students.
Well, if there's so many great Catholic schools here in the diocese, but every time we are on Highway 50 heading east, I tell my kids, I say, look up there on that hill. There's a school up there. And you can see everything from there.
Absolutely. I had the opportunity to come up to Holy Trinity years ago as a basketball coach uh-huh. for boys basketball.
Right.
And it was beautiful. And but I have to say, coming up here as the principal, the views are absolutely breathtaking.
They are.
I have the most gorgeous view out my office window. I make sure to send it to all my family and friends and say, look at my beautiful view, look where I'm at. And I'm continuously promised that later in the year when I look east, I'll be able to see the snow-capped mountains.
Yeah.
So the community is so blessed with a location.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we have here. It's absolutely breathtaking. And you are right. We're up on a hill. It's like that beacon on the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm. It is. You know, you can see the Sierra. You can see the Coast Range. I joke with my kids. I say that you can even see Mount Diablo, but you don't want to know what that's named after.
Exactly.
You keep an eye on Mount Diablo. So, yeah, it's a beautiful setting. You got a lot of fresh air up there. And usually in the winter, you're above the fog line, too.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, the one thing that I do find is that we also get, even on the really warm days, we get an absolute beautiful breeze
yeah.
up here.
Yep.
The flags are always blowing, and it kind of gives you exactly what you said, this sense of fresh air. And although it's really hot outside, the breeze,
yep.
Although warm, is just refreshing.
Yeah, I remember the first time I was there, I just thought, wow, this is really spectacularly beautiful, and it's a perfect place for a church, a perfect to honor God, and a perfect place for a school to teach our kids all about God and our wonderful faith.
And one of the things that I was so amazed with is in our classrooms, there's these wonderful skylights.
Mm-hmm.
And it just floods the classrooms with this beautiful natural light. You don't even need to turn the lights on, and the room is just full of that light. And the first time that I was able to make my way into the classrooms and saw that, I thought, what better way to talk about the light of the world, to be in a classroom where we're so we're just cascaded in natural light all day. For the children to appreciate and to, you know, make that connection of Christ being the light of the world for us to follow and to provide that foundation and faith for our students. We are just so fortunate in our Catholic schools and within our diocese to be able to offer that opportunity to our families.
Wow, that's wonderful. So being there, you know, right off of Highway 50, are most of your students from just El Dorado Hills, or do you get them from up and down the hill?
We get them from up and down the hill. We actually have families that come from Placerville.
Uh-huh.
We've had families now enrolled from Cool,
mm-hmm.
Which I know is a clip from us. We also get them from down the hill. You know, from Folsom,
mm-hmm.
We get them here from Cameron Park. So we really get a blend of students from all over the area, and so it's nice to meet all these families coming from all these different directions. And so it's a really wonderful community where everyone from throughout the county, and then even you know students from Sacramento County that are coming up the hill.
Well, Denise, it's just a great pleasure to talk with you. Our best wishes and prayers go with you as you was August 12th. Is that the magic day?
August 12th is our magic date. That is correct.
Very good. Well, we'll offer our family rosary on that day for you and all your students there.
Well, we appreciate it. And, you know, we are open and welcome anybody that would like to take a tour or check us out.
Very good. Do you have a phone number you want to give out?
Yes, it is area code 530-677-3591. That gets you right here to the Education Center. And, of course, we're always available on the Internet to check us out. And that's Holy Trinity Parish. .org, and so you can get on and see everything that we have going up here. One of the things that I also love about our parish is that it offers numerous amounts of ministries for people to get involved in to provide service to the community. And so I really am blessed and so happy to be part of this community.
Amen. They're blessed to have you as part of that community as well. So. Thanks for everything. God bless. And I hope we can talk to you again soon, once school gets up and running.
Absolutely. We'd love to talk again. Thank you
Great.
So much.
Thanks, Denise. That's Denise Remick, the principal at Holy Trinity School up in El Dorado Hills in El Dorado County, in a special parish for them as they open in-person learning on August the 12th. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it, my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love and God is just. At the cross, you beckon me, you draw me gently. Lost in love.